Welcome to the podcast of Trinity Church London. You're listening to a message given on a Sunday morning. If you'd like to know more about us and the life of the church, please visit trinitychurchlondon.com.
We are in this season, in the Christmas season, and it's very interesting because there is a lot of things that happen in this season, like music, movies, decorations, and there is a lot of things that our hearts share and can see in this moment. And it's funny because there is one thing that I hate in the Christmas, the movies. I don't like the Christmas movies. I can't watch the movies. But Raphael loved the movies. Yeah. And the last week, she said, let's go to watch one movie. And I said, okay, let's go. And we started and I said, okay, what that is in the movies and in our season that is so special, so important. That is one thing that everybody just waited for, that can see, and all the childs just do everything correctly just to receive. What is this? Yes, perfectly. I will use this box. It's the gift that everybody expects, because in the movies or in our histories, what we long waited is the gift. Because the gift that is some special meaning in our hearts. And we will see this, like was read today in the Luke chapter 2. We can see that is a beautiful story. And in Luke chapter 2, we see that Israel was also about to receive a very special gift. And I want to share this history with you. And I created some chapters. So the first chapter is about the shepherds. Like all histories, we need to start with once upon a time. There were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. They were a simple man with a simple task, just to look in the sheep. They don't need to fight. They don't need to have a big career. They need to don't have a big degree. They just need to look for the sheep. And it's funny because almost of the stories we just looking for some hero or for someone important. And I remember that Pastor Daniel preached here one time, and he said that he arrived at some place and asked someone question to him, what do you do? And he said, I'm pastor. And everybody said, oh. Because everybody expected some doctor, lawyer, or something important. But in the Bible, we see that almost of the stories, just God chose as someone non-important, as someone don't have some big career or something great. Because God loved this kind of the people. And after a long day, they just work and prepare the sheep to rest. And something special happened. And this is what introduces us to chapter 2, verse 9. And I chose the doxa to call this chapter. As they were preparing to rest, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Who wouldn't be scared? Everyone be scared of this. And I need to confess that sometimes that I go to my room and I start to pray, and I say, God, show me your glory. God, show me your presence. And the wife hit the door, and I jump and say, what is this? I'm feeling so scared with this, but I ask it for. And this is what the church is looking for the glory, for the presence of the God. And a long time ago, I'm walking in the tube, and was interesting because I'm just thinking about of the grace and the love of the Jesus, and how he can touch our hearts with the presence, and how he can bring us something different for our hearts. And this is something that the shepherds don't wait for, because they are more than 400 years with silence, divine silence. So in that time, it's 4th century that God don't operate no miracle, no prophet words, no healing, nothing. It's like a silence. And the shepherds in this night just look and see as some angels. So I think that anyone here would be scared as well. But in this point, I think that when I walk in the train, like I told, I listen the famous phrase in the tube. Which one? Mind gap. Everyone know about this. Everyone listen, and who come to the London, listen back to the country and repeat this in some place. Mind gap between the train and platform. And the speaker in the train said this phrase, but something inside of me echoing and keep saying mind gap, mind gap. And I said, okay, what this meaning? What the Holy Spirit want to talk with me? And it was interesting because he said, mind the gap between your schedule and my manifestation. Mind the gap, make room in your agenda, because we are so busy life, we are so busy people that don't have time to manifestation of the God. And these shepherds is in the same position because they are just preparing to rest, just prepare the sheep, just take care of that. And they don't have time to look to God and say, okay, what do you want to do in my life? How you want to transform my history? How you want to touch my heart and touch my mind and touch my hands and use me for what you are working this word? So this was so familiar for us, mind gap between the train and the platform, but sometimes we need to open a gap for God can come in our agendas and interrupt everything and just put the glory. And sometimes, not just outside, but inside of the church. We come in the service, we pray, we sing, but we don't expect the glory come. We are just doing this like something's normal. And God said, sometimes I will come with the glory. And I will broke up your agenda. And I will broke up your schedule, and I will do something different. And was this shepherd is living a new moment, a something special. And it's thirsty because I chose this word doxa, because this word used in the Old Testament to describe the manifested presence of God when Moses is looking the sheep as well, because the Moses was a shepherd as well, and he is just in the mount. And the presence of the God come and the tree start to take fire. I know that you remember of this passage. So that manifestation was called to the doxa. The doxa is the same word that he used in many and many times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. Because this is the expression of the presence of the God. And this is beautiful. Because the shepherds don't wait for this, but they receive it. And I want to introduce the chapter 3, the good news, the verse 10. But the angel say to them, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. At that moment, their expression began to change. They relax. I'm thinking like me that I'm relaxing now. It's like in the start, the heart is very quickly. But now it's better. And they look and said, okay, I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to care about it, because when a voice come and said, it's a good news. It's something that you can enjoy. It's something that you can share. It's something that you can listen. And this will not create in your heart some anxiety or something that will disturb your mind. But in this moment, they remember about the histories that the fathers tell to them. Some histories like when Jacob saw some angels and fight with him and held him and said, I just leave you if you give me your blessing. And I know that these shepherds in the mind may think about, oh, I will prepare my 3 wishes. The first one, I want this. The second one, I want that. And the first one, I want my 3 again. Because it's like this, we just expect for the glory of the God come and prepare something new. And like the angel said, it's a good news. If it is a good news and I can enjoy this, so this is meaning that I can ask something that is important to me. And we can see that Israel and its people always expecting something from God. But they don't expect what God can do in different way. And also, like, on again, this reminds me of our own generation, always making new plans with ideas constantly being born in our hearts. Think about what I want, how can God work in my life, how many doors he can open to me, but we just don't stop and listen. And today is the moment that we can stop everything and listen to the word of the God. And the chapter 4, in the verse 11, we'll say, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. Do you know when you receive some promise of your parents, your father or your mom, said, if you do everything correctly, if you are a good girl or a good boy, I will give a beautiful gift to you. Better than this, your parents say to you, if you are good kids, I will give anything that you ask. Anything. You can go in the small and you can say what you want and I will go to. And you look, say, oh, this is nice, no? I can choose anything, any gift. I just need to be good. In this point that this chapter is, again, they heard what the angels are saying about the gift. But this word promise made a long time ago about a savior, a leader who would change the history of Israel. Because of that, they may have had little faith or little hope that it could truly be happening. Because sometimes our parents just promise something, but when in the day that arrived, our birthday or Merry Christmas, we look and say, hey, when you go to this mall, and when you go to this mall, we just chose the store that we want our gift and say, I want that, I want this. And the father look and say, this is very expensive. It's impossible. Hey, but you say that I can choose anything in this mall. No, it's not possible. But this promise is not like this. This promise is opposite. The Father give the promise. The God make the promise. And he send the gift. A special gift. Amen. And this was very expensive to the Father. At some price that some human cannot pay. Yes. But God said, I do this. And sometimes the gift is like, take a long time to arrive, no? And sometimes we're just looking for, and if the parents did this promise in the beginning of the year, the child is looking for all the year, just expecting to arrive the Merry Christmas, to receive. So, like the shepherd that is living four centuries without the manifestation of God, they think, may these angels just doing us some promise that it will take more time. But no. Our God Father know the perfect time, the perfect time to come with the promise in our lives. And this is not an empty promise. This gift come at the right time to destroy the power of the death and sin, to bring salvation and restoration. It is the gift that can govern your life and give you direction as the Lord of your story. We needed this gift. And this is interesting because the angel will say three things about this gift. The first one, he said, is your salvation. It's not a someone that just come and will better or improve the throne, or the Israel throne, but this is, will be your savior. The second one, he said, this is the Messiah. The gift that you're waiting for is now in the earth. In the third, is the Lord. He not come just to die for you, He not come just to take your sin and make you free, but He come to be Lord of your life. To change all everything that you imagine, to change everything that you plan. And I love the prayer of Simeon as some verses. In the chapter 2. And just like the prayer of Simon, recorded a few chapters later, when he sees the babe, when he sees this gift, he will say, "Now my eyes have seen your salvation." And this was very beautiful because he will say, he took him up in his arms and praised God and saying, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." When he took the gift, when he took the baby in the hands, he said, "It's completed. I can die." Did you imagine when you are waiting for the gift that your father needs to give you? And let's suppose that your father is rich and he can give anything that you want, and you go to this mall and you chose the very expensive gift and your father is yours. Take. And you receive this gift and you look and say, "Right now I can die. Right now it's complete." Is this what Simeon said about the gift that he received? So this is so important. This is what we needed. Don't have option for me and you living without this. There is no option. Or you have Jesus, or you have salvation, or you have Jesus to control and guide your life, or you are lost. All the charge of the enemy against of you will be like some weight in your back. And you can't walk with this. And Jesus said, "Don't worry. Don't worry. I take this charge and put my back. Just for you to be free." And it's interesting because the chapter 5 of this history will say it about some wrapped gift. Yes, because in the verse 12, if you are with your Bible open, just read this. The verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." It's like the angel said, "Look, you will find some gift wrapped, and you will need just take and open and give it a look. And you will see that is something different inside of this box. You will see that is something special inside of this box." And do you know, when some child received this gift in the Christmas day, and the kids look for the gift and say, "What can be this?" And the child just try to guess what is inside just by the shape of the package. And here we can see that we are so pretentious in this chapter as well. Because when they listen about the good news, about some gift that they will receive, they say, "Oh, I'm expect that can be some good career. May God will change my life. I will not be more shepherd. Now I can be promoted. May God can give me more sheep just to look. As some kind of the riches. As some kind of the blessing." And they get prepared in the mind, just looking to the box that the angel offered. And they say, "There is a lot of things inside of this box. And may that is this or may that is that. If the gift that has been born and that we must go search for is what I've been waiting for, then maybe my life will finally improve. If I get the relationship I've been praying for, my life will be happier. Or you can say, if I get the house, the car, the career I dream of, then yes, everything will be better." How pretentious we are to think about what we want to receive and not what God can give us. In the chapter 6, we can see something different. Because now we need to see how to behave when receiving a gift. Do you know when one gift is given for a child? And the child look for this gift and say, okay, I ask this and that, but what can be this? And the kids don't know what they need to do. And the father that know what the kids ask and know that almost of the gifts that the child asks for the parents is very expensive almost of the times. The father know that inside of that box there is something special. But I suppose that your parents don't have money enough to buy the gift again. And you have a rich uncle. And this uncle give one gift for your child. Or for you. And you just receive it and say, what I need to do with this? And your parents look and say, I know that I don't have money to buy this. But I know that the rich uncle have money. And the gift that the child asked is very expensive. So he knows what is inside of the box. But the child know, and he arrived in the child and said, hey, say thank you. Be grateful. Hey, give a hug in your uncle because what inside of this box is very special, is very expensive. And this is what happened here with the angels and the shepherds. Because in the verse 13 we'll say, this suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So this is the first time the throne is empty, and now something in the earth is changing. It's the first time that the throne is empty, and in the earth there is one box with one wrapped gift. And the child received, and me and you received this, and we just don't know what we need to do. So the angels just look for the shepherd and said, hey, we already have this in the heaven. And we know what we need to do. We know what we need to tell. We need to praise God. We need to worship God. We need to say thank you. It's like the angels was the same that the fathers is for the kids. The shepherds arrived to the shepherds and said, hey, you need say thank you when you take this gift. You need praise. Because this time, this gift rests in your hands. This gift rests in your heart. The angels already possess this gift. And they know what they need to do. And like the father said, when you don't know what you need to do, just say thank you. In the next chapter, chapter 7, the most expected moment, the moment where we unwrapped the gift. In the verse 15 and 16, we'll say, when the angels had left then and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to the Bethlehem and see these things that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. It may have crossed in their minds that they had unwrapped so many gifts before. And you are here and say, yeah, this is true. I opened many and many gifts before as well. If you have 20, 30, imagine how many gifts you open in your life. How many Merry Christmas you lived. And you say, this can be the same. Because this is the feeling inside of the heart of the shepherds. They just look and say, may this is true, may not. We need to go and check. We need to follow the sign. This can be just one more gift that we unwrapped and look and say, oh, this is not what I expect for. And here again, we try to find in so many places what are some time we just can find in Christ. We just can find in this manger. But this time, the shepherds had hope. The events and the angels required the flame in their hearts. And they followed the sign that had been given to them. Now they had faith and hope. May today is the day that you can flame again your heart. And say, there is hope to me. This is, will be a definitive change in the history of Israel and the world. No, don't is one more gift. It's not one more gift just for one more day. Sometimes we take some gift and say, okay, this is one more gift that I received and I will just enjoy, and then the next day I will just forget this. But this is different. This is one gift that you can use, that is some gift that you can share with someone. This is some gift that when you take in your hand and you just open and you just start to read the Bible and you just start this relation with your gift, you can see that everything will change in your life. And this is special because it's not one gift that you open and finish and the next day you can forget. Because when you open one piece of this paper, you can see something different. And when you open another piece of this paper, you can see something different. And when you open and unwrap this gift that God gave, you can see more and more. And you see the glorious, and you see the love, and you see the majesty of the God. So this gift is not just something that you said, okay, I will enjoy one or 2 days. It's like the child that asks some expensive gift and when received it's just, oh, okay, I received it, so now I don't want to play anymore. No, this is different. You can open this gift today. You can open this gift tomorrow and forever and ever.
Amen.
Just be free to think that this is not like all the gifts that you received before. And the chapter 7, showing everyone the gift. The verse 17 and 18 will say, when they had seen him, the baby or the gift, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about his child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Do you know what one child wants to do when receiving one gift? They want to show for everyone. Go to the college with the gift. Show to the friends. Show to the family. Go in the neighborhood and say, look what I received. Look my beautiful gift. Look what I received. This is very nice. Everyone to show. If you received something of your husband or of your wife, you want to show to everybody. Because this is so important. And the Merry Christmas, the gift is this expression that I want to give something for someone that is close very, very much to me. This is what the gift is meaning. That I will pay for something that express the love of my heart. So I want to take something expensive and give for someone that I love. And today we received this gift. This is special. And we just need to do the same thing. When the angels look and say, it's true. What the angels said about of this gift, what they promise, right now, our eyes can see. This is true. The salvation that we hoped for, the Lord that will change the nation. All this is true. And now, they like kids, just want to tell for everyone. In every place. They want to share the gospel. And that is exactly what the chef did. They told everyone about the wonders they had seen and heard. But how did they do that? They cannot to take the babe in the manger, put down in their arms and just walk in the neighborhood and say, "Hey, look the baby. Look the beautiful gift I received." They didn't take the babe off the manger and say, "Hey, I have one special gift." Of course, the Mary and Joseph will say, "Are you crazy?" And it's the same thing for us. How we can express this love, how we can show this glory of the God. And if we don't have some baby, if we don't have some package, that we just walk for the streets and say, "Hey, I received one gift." How we can do this? And I reminded of the words of Philip to Nathanael in Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 45 and 46. Philip finds Nathanael and said, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about who the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael asks, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And Philip replies, "Come and see." Come and see. And we will say what for the people that want to see this? Come to my church and see. What we can say for the people in the world? Come and see. Don't have any more a manger. Don't have any more a packaging. The Christ back to the throne. So what we can call? How we can invite the people to know and to see the glory of the God? This is the answer we should give to everyone. Come and see my new way of living. Come and see what I do when I am alone in my room. I no longer need music filled with bad words. I'm no longer an alcoholic. I no longer treat people with disrespect. Come and see my new lifestyle. Everything that I do, everything, how I work, how I treat the people in my job. This is the expression that you received the gift. You are enjoying the gift and you share about this gift. This is the highest moment in our lives. When you understand that we received as some special thing, and now we just don't put in some storage. But we use day by day. We don't live in some place that anyone can steal in us. But we carry inside of our hearts, in our mouth, how we can look for the people and have compassion. This is what describe if you receive the gift. And this is the day that if you are not familiar with this gift, if this gift never arrived in your hands, this is the opportunity to you open your hands and say, "I am free to receive this. I want this. I want this Savior. I want this. This promise about one gift that is eternal." I'm already finished, Pastor. Yeah, this is make me remember one student, theology student. He needs to prepare one sermon. And the teacher gave just 20 minutes to him as well. And he arrived and started to sermon. And he looked to the teacher and said, "Just more a few minutes." And the teacher answered, "Look, me and your colleagues will be here just more 5 minutes. You can stay all the day." So, I will finish just with this. Today I invite you to receive this gift and have your life transformed. The best decision you will ever make is to open your hands and receive the gift of salvation and the presence of the Holy Spirit, who will change your life forever. I love to read Francis Schaeffer. Just one more phrase. I love to read the books of Francis Schaeffer. And he said that the faith is like a some child that extended the hands, the empty hands, and wait at something from God. And I just invite you, stand your hands. Stand up. And like I told, if you receive a lot of gifts, if you unwrap a lot of gifts and no one can fulfill your desire, if no one can fulfill your pleasure, and if you open thousand and thousand gifts and you say, I keep the same, this is the day that you will open a new one. And it will be completely different and completely special. Amen.